Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Devarim. Let's start with a few stories. Let's start with a story about Rav Avram Dov Auerbach, who I believe was the brother of Shlomo Zalman. There was a simple Jew in a shul where Rabbi Auerbach was, and he saw that he was blowing out the candle that was at the Omud after finishing davening for the Omud or something like that. And it was apparent that this individual did not understand. He didn't know the Chazal. It says a machabir ner beruach piv dama berosho, meaning it's a sakana for somebody to blow out a candle. So he didn't want to embarrass him. So instead, he went up to the individual and he asked him, like somebody who's just asking somebody and learning, hey, do you know why it's okay on Erev Shabbos for a husband who pre-lights the candles for his wife to get those wicks ready that he can blow it out afterwards? Said it's because of there's a mitzvah. And he says, Shomer mitzvah, lo yoda kol ro. He says, you know, you somebody who's doing a mitzvah, it says by Shlomo Melech in Koheles that you're not gonna see anything bad from it. So therefore you've got Shmira. But normally, you know, it would be the other way. And he didn't point to him or do anything, and he just hoped that the person would understand it. But Ramiza, and this is just the Kavod Shel Yisrael kind of sensitivities that the greatest of us should have, all of us should have, but the greatest of us teach us. Warren Cutler has another story about another simple Jew who asked him a Shiloh, which is, I mean, it seems pretty obvious. You know, in the olden days, it used to be much more popularized than it is today, it seems. But, people would learn the Chokli Yisrael. The Chokli Yisrael had little sections of a daily portion of Lima de Torah and different sections of Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, some Nister, some Musar, whatever it was. Lots of different pieces. And somebody had a situation where they had, they missed a day. So they said, can I make it up? So he went to Ravon Cutler and he asked him, do you know? And instead of saying Dvar Pashut and answering on the spot or embarrassing him or saying, you know, anything else like that, Cutler took out some Svarim and looked around and put in a few, you know, different Tachbulos around the base medrash or whatever to make it appear as if this was a good Shiloh. And then he came back, he said, you know what? I think that you can make it up. So the lekach here is the same thing. Kvodon Shir Yisrael, you know, one of the things that easily chills the relationship of a Rebbe and a Talmud or a teacher and a student or a parent and a child is belittling a question. Belittling a question is the death knell to any further questions whatsoever. So we have to be super careful. Even though, you know, I have a tendency, for example, to be very playful when I learn, especially when I get excited in learning. You know, sometimes I can get playful and excited and maybe a little bit over my skis. So sometimes somebody learning with me might feel like I'm flippant or dismissive, but really I'm just being dramatic and excited. So I need to be careful with that. And similarly, this sort of thing is we need to give the kavod to people as they are trying to progress in their Yediyas HaTorah, their Shmiras HaTorah, and their learning. There's just a brief thing about the Maral Diskin that works well with the time. Apparently, he lived in Yerushalayim for so many years and he never ever went to the Kotel HaMa'aravi. Why? It was told that he said he couldn't go because if he went, he knew that just the awe of the matter, he would just faint. One more story about Kvodon Shel Yisrael, or two more stories about Kvodon Shel Yisrael. First one is about Rav Chaim Ozer. Rav Chaim Ozer was very, very, very involved in Tzorchei Tzibur, and since he was very involved in Tzorchei Tzibur, specifically getting people through Vilna, trying to get them safe across the world, his time was just so valuable. And not only that, he was a savant. And he could do, you know, many, many things at a time, but he needed that time. He needed to be able to do several things at a time. Once he was on the street and somebody asked him for directions, and he was with a Talmud, and Chaim Ozer said, here, I'll just take you there. And it was a walk. So he did it, and the Talmud was there with him, and he asked him, he said, Rebbe, my high, what's going on here? You have no time. You know, why did you do that? And he said, did you see how hard it was for this man to just ask me the question? He was so embarrassed to ask me the question. What would he do if he walked down the street and then got lost again and have to ask? It's like killing him. He said, it's better for me to invest my time and get this person where they need to go. Similarly, another story about the Chafetz Chaim in Radin. Apparently, at some point in time, you know, people started having their own baths and bathrooms, but there was a bathhouse in Radin, and Rav Chafetz Chaim was there, and apparently there was somebody who probably by honest mistake had forgotten to bring their soap and was hoping to use soap when they were there, and looks like they were about to cut a corner and were taking the soap that belonged to somebody else, which is, of course, Gzela. So Rav Chafetz Chaim, instead of trying to embarrass him and, you know, say, I'm going to save you from an Avera, you know, this is fire, this is terrible, whatever, he decided that it was better for him to just go up to this individual. And he said, I've tried that kind of soap, but it hasn't really helped me at all. You even come out worse sometimes. Why don't you try my soap instead? And this way, he could save the person from that terrible, horrible avera, and he could also save the person from the terrible, horrible embarrassment. Next is a very nice idea from Chanuch Henoch Alexander. It says, Hoil Moshe Bi'eras Kol HaTorah. Hoil, Rashi says, Hoil Lashon Hischil, he began. And he said that it's very, very important sometimes, even if we've, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu has been teaching Torah for all these decades and doing everything. He was the seercer of the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and he is maschil, even after 40 years in the desert, whatnot. He said, you know, we need to have our gosha that we're just starting. We're just starting. We're at the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more. This is like a smorgasbord, Torah, and it's a smorgasbord of Osher Nitzchi. We need to plug in and be so happy about it. Next is a Nesivos HaMishpat. Rav Yaakov Melisa has a beautiful idea. He says, you know, when they're trying to get all the judges, the job description says Nevonim, and then when it describes what they got, Nevonim is missing. Rashi picks it up. He says, you know why? Because he couldn't find Nevonim. Moshe Rabbeinu could not find Nevonim. So Rav Yaakov Melisa asks a good Kasha, saying, hey, wait a minute, couldn't find Nevonim, all of Klal Yisrael, this is the Dor Dea. How could you say you didn't find anybody who had Bina from the whole Dor Dea? Makes no sense. This was the definitional thing, is their knowledge. So, you know, you want to make a distinction between Dea and Bina, fine, but this is the place to be looking for those types of people. And he answers a bomb. He said, of course there were Nevonim. It's just that none of them wanted the Srora. None of them wanted to be Dayanim. Nobody wanted any of this authority because they knew that it would be Makavir them. It's so painful and so difficult. And there's two studim to this. I mean, we all know we need to acknowledge that there's a giant tircha in Yisuk B'Tzorchei Tzibur. And I hope, mentioned the machlokas between the Chassam Sofer and the Meshech Chochma, whether or not this is really an impediment to a person's Avodas Hashem. But even for the Shita in the Chassam Sofer that says it is definitely an impediment to one's Avodas Hashem, Chassam Sofer says, yeah, but it's still worth it. It's still worth it. So while the Nevonim were saying this, you know, it could be that there were Nevonim all over the place. It's important to remember that sometimes we need to be ready to take one for the team, and the world is bigger than just ourselves. Tiferes Shlomo says, it refers to Choriv. Says, Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke, gave us the Torah, Bechoriv spoke to us, Bechoriv. And Tiferes Shlomo says a nice Churban message. He says, even when there's a Churban, Choriv, even Hashem, we still have the Torah, Bechoriv, when that is existing. Another idea, beautiful thought from the Chidushei Arim of Gur. He says, it says, the came to me, Be'ir Buvya, says Rashi. Be'ir Buvya means the people are kind of, they're pushing, they're being dochek. And he says, hey, wait a minute. I see here by the Meraglim, they're being madchik, ish es chaveiro. But by Har Sinai, a time where there should be more hislavos, more excitement, more verve, we see nothing about that. It looks like they were ready to just be more mesuder. And it's a little bit of a chisaron, you could say, that they didn't have the extraordinary Hislavos that would make them be a little disorderly in the way that they accepted the Torah. I would give a ha'ara and say, while what he's saying is true, that the feelings that would make you want to be disorderly should absolutely be there in full force and effect, it can be that it's sometimes when people feel their most emotional overwhelmingness, you know, excitement in Hislavos, that they are the most under control. This is clearly a Lifeshatir. But it could be that that's the moment where people feel like they have a stranglehold on the Yetzirah, and they are ready to do what they're supposed to do. The Mida Uva Mishkel Mechuvan. So Tutstad into that, comment. Last, a couple things on the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story. First, I just want to give him a halich that I had thought about a little bit about the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story. When I think about it, I think that there's a leitmotif that goes through the entire story, and that's every single part was based on the fact of the what Yirmiyahu Anavi says, Amilo Hisbonan. People did not think in advance. They were not prepared. They were not ready for a surprise. What are the different instances? First, Bar Kamsa, when he receives a invitation to a party of a place where he shouldn't be, he just goes. So, I mean, it's true, Ben Yoyada and others try to say maybe it was because he was hoping that they were trying to make amends, but also sometimes you need to have a little pikrius and figure out what's going on here. Second one, the Talmidei Chacham, obviously the host was not prepared. You know, when you throw a big party, there's always going to be a surprise. You know, you just have to be ready. In fact, my wife quotes from somebody who spoke to her once. We were having, you know, a little challenges trying to, you know, around a simcha. He said, the Yetzer is particularly active at the time of the simcha. So the host should have prepared. The host should have been ready for this sort of thing. Even if they didn't know the details, they should have prepared themselves and said, hey, you better be ready for, you know, a banana peel somewhere to slip on and don't slip. And then there was the Talmidei Chachamim. It looks like the cat back bit their tongue. What was up with the Talmidei Chachamim that they didn't speak? And that was, you know, some try to explain the story. The reason why Bar Kamsa got all enraged was that he thought the Talmidei Chachamim had signed off on this. And last, Zachariah ben Avkulus saying you can't bring this korban with a mum. He was so focused on the trees and not the forest that he got himself in a terrible bind, and he got all of Klal Yisrael through his anivus in a chanami, but that anivus put them in all the wrong places. So this is just a great reminder of how much we need to learn Musar and how much we need to work on ourselves to be thoughtful people. You know, there's pishpush and mishmush. You know, we need to think, you know, there's a zahiris before a maisa and there's a zahiris b'shas maisa. You know, we need to think about, try to pre-plan and everything, and then there's going to be a surprise, like by Yaakov Avinu. He prepares mitfila uve matana uve doron uve milchama. He prepares every way for the big deal of his life. Never happens. Rabbi Yosef Blau has mentioned that. And then he has a fight with a malach that he didn't prepare for. Well, how was he ready? Because he was prepared. He was thinking about, it's b'shas maisa. B'shas maisa, that's a lifetime of work. You have to be ready for something, b'shas maisa. Next, I want to address just the simple question of Kamsa bar Kamsa. It says, Akamsa bar Kamsa, Charva ish Yushulayim. This is the two of them, but only one of them is a protagonist in the story, right? The friend, well, why is he given any culpability at all? So according to the Maharal, it said, well, if you're a friend of somebody who has enemies, you're not a good friend, right? Meaning you need to, if you have a friend who's got that sort of animus towards somebody else, and seemingly that this is a se'if of sinas chinam, you are not a good friend, and you are equally culpable. Next, the Ben Yoyada says, Akamsa bar Kamsa is not talking about the two people, but it's talking about the difference between Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, which is such a fine hairline, you know, just a difference in an address. And maybe it could even be the Shaliach's problem, that the Shaliach goes and he you know, he made such a, you know, a simple, honest, nominal mistake that turned out to be a monumental problem. And last, the Maharsha. Maharsha says it was a father and son, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, the son of Kamsa. So if Bar Kamsa was the one who went absolutely wild first thing, I would give a comment to the Kamsa. How could you have a good friend who hates your son in such a way? Could you not help to make amends? And second, how could you have a son who has such a terrible, terrible meter that they could spin out of so much control? This child has now gone through your household to such an extent, and you have not yet given them the proper chinuch of how to deal with when things don't go your way. That could also be another one. It should just give us, as the super tatis, chizuk in trying to give our kids chinuch, to lead by example, to help them learn how to deal in situations that they will not expect. Thank you for learning with me. Have a good Shabbos and a successful Tanis.